I'm Simon Devereaux, Director of Global Talent Development at Framestore, and welcome to the Framestore Podcast, a learning and talent development focused podcast made by Framestore for Framestore. We are well into 2024 now, and we thought it's been exactly 1 year since we had a management and leadership focused episode. So this week's special guest is Manpreet Singh, Head of Technical Operations for our Mumbai studio, a Framestore leader with an excellent reputation. Joining us for this week's episode as co-host is Michael Sava, Technology Project Manager from the Global Production Technology team. Regular listeners will remember episode 10, almost a year ago today, where we caught up with Matt Hughes, Global Head of Modeling at Framestore. And this episode serves as an invaluable companion piece for anyone interested in the craft of leadership and people management. This was a lot of fun to record, so please settle in and enjoy episode 43, part one of the Framestore Podcast with Manpreet Singh. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Framestore Podcast, episode 43. Every 2 weeks, we invite both a guest from our global Framestore community and a co-host with a keen interest in our guest's role, craft or career path, and we let the magic happen. On today's episode, I warm them up by inviting our guests to the Framestore Podcast Daily Session, our 13-question grilling, followed by Thursday's second part, where our co-host leads a deeper dive into why we invited them on the pod in the first place. Our special guest this week is Manpreet Singh, Head of Technical Operations for our Mumbai studio and seasoned leader with over 2 decades of experience in the IT and visual effects industry. Before Framestore, Manpreet held key roles across various organizations. At Anibrain, he was the head of IT and operations, focusing on strategic decisions, data center setups, and virtualization. He's also worked with Meticulous Ventures as a technology and operations consultant, focusing on cloud deployments and project management. Notably, Manpreet spent over 4 years at TomTom International as the global technical support manager. And there he managed data center operations, led a team of 50 across multiple IT disciplines, and handled transitions from Amsterdam to Pune, even getting a greatest boss in the world mug for his efforts. Earlier in his career, Manpreet showcased his technical prowess as a manager at Persistent Systems and deployment manager at Tech Mahindra. He started his journey as a systems engineer at 3D PLM Software Solutions and has held roles at Ezingo Soft Solutions and Vertex Software. With a rich background spanning from technical support to leadership roles, Manpreet is not only an expert in IT operations, but also a strategic thinker, a team builder, and a motivational public speaker. Joining us for this week's two-part episode as our co-host is Michael Sava, Technology Project Manager here at Framestore. With over 15 years of experience in project management and through his freelance work with New ECW Production since 2009, he's combined his passion for creative design with his project management skills to deliver outstanding projects in film, music, photography, and digital distribution. From award-winning films to fashion and TV pilots, Michael has a knack for ensuring the highest quality in every production. Before Framestore, Michael has held roles in healthcare, digital transformation, and IT project management to the fashion and publishing industry. And that's the intro. I have to take a deep breath. I got that in the first take. I'm very proud of myself. Welcome to the podcast, Manpreet and Michael. How are you both? Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Hello. Welcome.
No, it's good to be back in the game. And Manpreet, we just established it's been over a year since we caught up properly. I remember you were a big figure in my early days at Framestore. I think you did one of your fairly frequent London visits at the time with your chili competition or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that was great. So yeah, I learned a lot from you in those early days.
Yeah. So I remember doing that chili challenge because I thought I should do something different. When I come to London, there should be someone noticing that Manpreet is there. So I do that quite often, do something different. I enjoy doing that, bringing people together.
I don't know this story, so can you enlighten me?
Manpreet, so go for it. Yeah, let's hear more.
Oh, yeah, why not?
People want to know.
So when I was associated with Anybrain, that was the first year in 2018, I happened to visit London. I thought when I'm there, I should do something different to bring people together and make them feel that I am there. So I did a little chili challenge, in the sense I brought some chili peppers and sauces from India, and then organized a chili challenge within the systems team there, and everybody enjoyed it, I believe. So Steve McPherson was also there. So we all did this challenge within the systems teams. But then two years later, in 2022 also, I did the same chili challenge, because I was officially on board and with Framestore. So when I was there, I did the chili challenge again.
Wow.
And then this time it was spread out to the entire floor, on the fifth floor in the cafeteria. And people really came together, and I really can remember those moments and expressions that people brought up.
That's cool.
It was really funny. And people just appreciated those moments.
I love that.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's a nice way to bring people together. Like, on the face of it, I know that you're known for your chili challenges or chili competitions. And when you get under the skin of that, actually, the inception of that challenge is essentially a leadership skill, isn't it? It's to bring people together. You know, you're not just testing your limits with hot sauces and chilies, but you're also connecting people through something other than the daily job, the daily grind, right? So I think that's super cool.
But then that's also something people feel, that they've achieved something better this time.
Status, right?
Is anyone as good as you on the chili challenge? Are you like the supreme? Is that how it works?
I think Jerry is there. He can have any kind of chilies. Jerry Allen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
I'm down for the next one. Yeah, I've said it publicly now.
Yeah, you're a bit of a chili fiend, Michael.
Yeah. I'll try it. We'll see how you get on.
Well, we do have the culinary question at the end of the episode, where we can swap our favorite, our death row dishes. But it's really good to have you both on this podcast. And I'll be full disclosure, we pulled this one together really quickly, didn't we? I mean, Manpreet, to be honest, you have been on my hit list for a while now. And then we had to pull this one together at the 11th hour, and you both absolutely came through. And what's super cool about this is I've been meaning to do an episode on management and leadership again, since we did the Matt Hughes episode. I think it was like episode 4 or something. Where this is episode 43 now, so we've been doing a lot of these over the last couple of years. But that one went down really, really well. So we've got that angle. Plus, we've got Michael here, who's a project manager, and you both share that DNA as well. So I'm really excited to get into this this conversation. It's going to be a good one, I promise. And I have a feeling I might be able to just kick back and leave you two to chat. I think it's going to be an easy job for me today.
Well, it was an easy project. I mean, I was saying to you earlier, I just joined the company like a year and a half ago, and I was managing we'll get into it, but I was managing kind of a rollout of a project, and I came to work with the Mumbai office, and it was the easiest rollout of all of them. And it probably was because when it came down to it, like, Manpreet had all those documents and anything that I would need ready. So So I could see that there was something there. And it wasn't until afterwards that I learned that you have that background. But it's it's just having someone like that on the other side of a project made it really super easy. And we haven't worked together since. So it'll be excited to kind of work together again one day.
Yeah.
You sure?
Well, technically you are working together now. This is technically work.
Is this work?
This is a learning experience we're offering.
That's a good point.
So this is your second project in many ways. You're welcome. So it's good to have you both on. And you said that was the easiest rollout then, Michael. Yeah. So was it down to the level of detail that Manpreet came to the table with, or was there more to it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, that was it. I was thinking about this earlier, because for me, I only rolled out this in London as well. It was a slightly different rollout in London, but we put the documentation for Mumbai together, but they were the first kind of test bed next after our initial kind of soft go live. But it really helped, because I remember turning up to a meeting and you guys had put together a checklist, and half the work had been done. We had weekly meetings and they were just super smooth. And I remember I could just rely on you and your team, and it demonstrated. And I literally had just hit the ground running with this project. I'd been in the company, I think, a month or so. So that was useful to just have someone else who knew what they were doing. And
great.
It was great.
Yeah.
Nice work, Manpreet. Did you get that feedback at the time, or did you just know that you were the best in the game delivering?
Yeah. I mean, I knew what I had to do. I just did it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes, I'm pretty, you know, we talked a lot when we first met, not long after I joined, and I've only been with Framestore best part of 2.5 years, but I really remember our early conversations, and I was really taken by your love and passion for leadership, for people management, for working with teams. Where does that come from? Where does that love come from? Because not everybody is, you know, cut that way, if that makes sense.
Right. I mean, if you'd really ask, I never got any kind of mentorship or guidance from anyone when I started my career. I just learned a lot of stuff on the job. I learned from my mistakes. I learned from other people's mistakes. Mm. And then, of course, the leadership styles, those things were already in the genes because I come from army background. My father was retired army officer. And then, yeah. So that's pretty much in the genes, like leadership qualities. And I thought that's the thing that I really wanted to do. And I got opportunities to lead teams in companies like Tech Mahindra, Persistent,
yeah.
TomTom, that was the biggest team that I had held. And then now I think I've been enjoying leading teams, guiding them, motivating people. I think those are the key things that I really enjoy a lot. Mm.
That's cool. And you say you come from kind of like military family.
Yeah.
Manpreet. That's interesting because when people, there's a lot of writing out there around leadership, particularly Simon Sinek, and he talks, there's the book Leaders Eat Last, where he talks about leaders, great leaders taking, you know, almost military metaphors of taking the bullet for your team, leading from the front, you know, leading the charge. There's all these great military metaphor. So do you genuinely think having that military DNA has kind of made you the, obviously, through experience, of course, that's made you the leader you are today. But was that seed planted early on then, do you think, as growing up?
Yeah, I think that makes a huge difference because I, together with my dad and family, we had visited places, which is not that everybody would like to visit because tougher times, tougher situations, and then being able to handle those situations. So I think that's something that we have learned right from the beginning, like when I was a child, and how to tackle those situations, of course. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes. That definitely the military background was really helpful.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And then the on-the-job kind of experience that you talked about, because actually you've got a big project management kind of foundation there. Project management is deeply rooted in making sure you've got the right people in the right kind of roles, in the right at the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
Do you think being a project manager is a great kind of boot camp for being a strong leader?
Yeah. So if you look at the kind of project management overall architecture, it talks about your communication, project management, resources, the risk, the cost, scope, time, everything. You talk about everything that's involved within that project. So I think having excellent communication skills, having that kind of infrastructure background and right resources management also. So I think that's also an additional advantage to have that PMP certification that really helps to ensure that you are doing the right job first of all.
Yeah, brilliant. And how do you keep, sorry, I've got loads of preamble questions before we open the dramatic sound effect on the podcast, but how do you keep your management skills and knowledge sharp? Because you've spoken a lot about, well, not a lot, but you mentioned not really having a mentor, learning on the job. But how do you keep focus? How do you learn new practices around being a great leader? Or is it something that's innate and comes naturally to you?
I think it, of course, it comes by experience.
Yeah.
You have new experience every now and then. Secondly, I do follow a couple of TEDx sessions, and I'm also part of project management group in Mumbai chapter.
Okay.
So I'm also, kind of getting to learn things from there. Mm-hmm. And of course, life teaches you new lessons every day. So that's also the biggest thing.
Nice. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that Manpreet. Good to know that you're keeping those skills sharp. And Michael, you know, you're hardly brand new to the world of project management, right? You know, you're not 15 years in the game. You know, what's your kind of take on that kind of project management DNA? Because obviously you're joining this podcast to, you know, interview, grill Manpreet in our second half of this episode, of course. But, you know, what's your take on, what have you learned from the project management experience over your 15-year career?
I'll just ask loads of questions and breathe. And that's it, really. Like, just as long as you can get into a room and ask questions, the part of the project I don't like the most is the beginning, because it's difficult because you don't know a lot about what you're diving into, and you're not an expert in any field, so you have to be a jack of all trades, which is risky.
Yeah.
And you're trying to dive into something and extract what the meaning and what your end goal is as fast as you can, but as thoroughly as you can. And trying to do that means you just have to put yourself in that situation of just asking a lot of questions, being provocative, being a bit persuasive at times as well. You talk about leading from the front. I think it's leadership or is a love-hate word, because it evokes so much emotion in different people. Some people love it, some people hate it. But project management's nice because you're not pulling the financial strings most of the time, although you might have a budget you're working with. But you are able to pull the I'm a team leader strings, and you sit somewhere between, and it's really key to just be a bit, as I say, provocative and persuasive when you need to be. And yeah, that's the one thing I say I think is project management for me, and has been. And I'm quite lucky, I've worked in a variety of industries and loads of disciplines. And in that, you get to learn so many different ways of doing things. And I get to take that different places and use different project management styles. And I try to flex that. So that's always really key, I think, just to not sit around and get comfortable as well. It's quite interesting part of being a good project manager, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Funnily enough, I was running a workshop this morning about peer management, and we talked about the different types of manager, because you have your traditional manager who manages a team. Like you say, they look after the budget and the headcount, as well as the pastoral care and the team support, right? And you both have that. But then there's the project management experience, where I imagine, particularly with your freelance work, Michael, as you bounce around from project to project, a bit like the show episodes that we do, where you go from show to show to show as a supervisor, you've got a whole new group of people. You're not managing their salary reviews. You're not managing their personal development. You're just making sure that they get from the beginning, as you said, to the end of the project in one piece, deliver whatever it is you're delivering, and making sure they're motivated, supported along the way, right?
Yeah, it's a pastoral role sometimes. It's like reminding people of the aim, bringing us back down to earth. And it's fun to be able to go between, you know, sometimes having a team that you work with quite closely, like I do in Manpreet's team as well, often, but then sometimes just working with freelancers that you get in to just do a specific part of the job. And that's always interesting as well, because then you get to learn from them. And I'm a bit of a nosy busybody, so and if I get someone in to do a project or a piece of work, I like to sit there and say, could you mind if I watch? Do you mind if I just see what you're doing? Just so I'm never going to understand it completely, right? And I might not never. It's like when you get someone to change a tire, you know, you're always looking around and seeing how they're getting on. You don't want to be too nosy and make them feel like you're in their way, but you want to learn how it's done so that you might help one day, or so that you know how the car works, you know, to carry on the metaphor. And it's interesting, and that's just project management. You don't want to be the mechanic, but you do want to learn how the whole kind of things works overall. And that's the interesting part as well, I guess.
Nice, I like that. And Manpreet, so you've been obviously on that project management journey, but now you're ahead of department of a massive team. I mean, how many people are you having to manage, both, I guess, within your team itself? You know, how many direct reports are you dealing with on a day-to-day? And I guess in your role in technical operations, you have that wider stakeholder group that you're having to influence as well. So on a daily basis, how many people are you having to manage, I guess?
Yeah, I got 8 direct reports, and I'm also working with different other technical teams who are closely working with me. And they also consult to me. So it's like 8 direct reports plus 6 more technical teams working together closely with me.
8 plus 6 technical teams, that's a lot of people. And I'm keen to get into the challenges that that presents, but I have a feeling we're going to tease this out as we go through our set questions. So I do this on every podcast. I get so wrapped up in a kind of geeky conversation, we end up being like 30 minutes into the episode, and we're on the clock here, people. Okay, we've got to stick to time, right? So time management is also a project management skill, right? So
exactly.
I'm expecting you both to project manage me, because I am the worst kind of project member or team member. I'll just go completely off on tangents. So I'm trusting you to keep me to time. So I reckon we drop the dramatic sound effect now. We're nearly 20 minutes in. So are you both ready for the big dramatic sound effect to drop now? It's been dropping for 40 plus episodes. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you in the zone?
Sure.
I'm as good as it's going to get, yeah.
Okay, well, let's drop the dramatic sound effect then. Here it comes. To the dailies. We've opened the dailies session, and the first question is, and I know we establish it in the intro, but I always ask it on every podcast episode, Manpreet, is the who, where, what question. It's who are you, where are you, and what are you working on, but only if you're allowed to talk about it.
So my name is Manpreet Singh Mittu, and I'm based out of Framestore Mumbai, And I'm currently heading the technical operations for India Frame Store. That's it.
Amazing. And I'll quickly blend in question two is, how long have you been on the good ship Frame Store Mumbai?
I've completed 3 years in February this year.
Nice. So congratulations.
Yeah, nice journey.
That was straight off the back of an anniversary. Brilliant. 3+ years. Wow. Is that all? It feels like you've been. I mean, I feel like I've been here forever as well. So yeah, that's wow. How's it feel to get to 3 years, Manpreet? Looking back, helicoptering back over the growth of Mumbai.
I think I was among the first few people who started working in Frame Store Mumbai. It was completely raw here. So me, Praveen, and Akori, we used to visit office almost every day during the pandemic time. Also.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we built the entire infrastructure. And by September 2021, everybody started coming to the office. I think that was a great journey. Over 3 years, I've seen no people to like full house, 400 people now working in office. Massive.
Wow. How would you describe that? Because you went literally from like a handful of people, right, to the studio, you know, the community that it is now. You know, how would you describe that culture, the culture of Framestore Mumbai? If you had to pick just a few words just from the ether, you know, having been there from day one to now.
I believe, so I have worked with Framestore earlier also through Anybrain. I know the culture, I think.
Yeah,
but then
of course.
Mumbai was the new studio and I think we were the ones responsible to create that culture for the people, those who were joining. So yeah. I think we did a pretty good job echoing the same culture that we have globally. I think people are very much motivated to work with Frame Store India. So all good.
Yeah, that's interesting because I know you spent time with Anibrain, who have been obviously partners of Frame Store for years, right? So you're saying that that helped you kind of understand the culture of Frame Store even before, I guess, the Mumbai studio was a thing.
Yeah, although I was hired by Anibrain.
Oh, right, you were
so
like...
I was interviewed by Framestore on the payrolls of Anibrain.
Right, interesting.
So I was always part of Framestore when it comes to driving the culture, bringing people together. So I always appreciate that.
Good. And you fed that into the DNA of Framestore Mumbai. It's such a cool story. And Michael, same question to you. Who, where, what? Who are you, where are you, and what are you working on?
Yes, Michael Sava. I'm a technology project manager working on global projects at Framestore. I'm quite lucky I get to work on a real variety of projects. So some of the big projects are kind of looking at our storage and potential re-architecture. That's a big project that's been going on for a while. But I also get stuck in with some more quicker projects, like shorter turnarounds for like a rides project for our immersive teams.
Oh, cool.
Setting that up, and that might be a unique case that we might suddenly need. So that's one of the more recent ones that's been quite exciting. And it's one of those ones that I was mentioning earlier where you get to kind of peek under the hood and learn something new. And then just like my expertise is implementing different types of solutions, finance solutions with P2P, and we're doing a HR solution specifically at the moment. And so I'm looking at that project with our team, who are absolutely amazing. So that's a big project this year. So those kind of big projects, but also just keeping the lights on, upgrades, streamlining processes, streamlining services for our artists, right? How can we make that more efficient, more redundant, and quicker, and cost less for us as well as a couple of the projects we're looking at. So it's a real like variety, and I'm really lucky. Yeah, I'm lucky in that respect.
Yeah, theme park rides to HR systems doesn't get any more diverse than that, does it?
Yeah, that's it, exactly, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both. Thanks for those intros. So my next question is about your big break. So Manpreet, you know, we talk about breaks in the VFX industry or the visual effects industry, but breaks are subjective, aren't they? So for some people, it's the break, it's the first job, it's the first gig. And for some people, it's a moment during that career path. What for you would be your big break in the industry, Manpreet?
Well, I was always excited to work at the multimedia and AV because it was like my passion and areas of interest. Earlier, I was working with global companies like TomTom, which was headquartered in Amsterdam. And I was working as a global NOC support head in Pune. And later, I was interviewed by Steve McPherson in Framestore to head technical operations for Anibrain. I found it interesting because VFX and multimedia industry was like close to my heart. So, I worked in Anibrain for some time and then left. And then I worked with DigiCore Studios. And then pandemic came. We knew that Framestore is opening up office in Mumbai. And I was interviewed there. I got that big break in 2021, February, when I joined here.
Wow. God, that's it's amazing how these things kind of come together, isn't it? These kind of like little moments. Like, I love hearing people's kind of break in any industry, and it's those little sliding doors moments that sometimes often chance encounters. Sometimes it's rarely planned. It's all about kind of the conversations that you have along the way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so how are you finding that career in visual effects, Manpreet? You know, looking back, how are you enjoying your visual effects experience all those years later?
I think it's very motivating, because when you see the outcomes and people really appreciate, this is massive, this is fantastic, those kind of responses. And when you say, oh, this is done by our company and we were involved, all right. People say, all right, great job done.
Yeah.
So I think that's really encouraging, motivating. This is really nice journey so far. Yeah.
And from a technical point of view, so as podcast host, I get to pretend I don't know anything. So I'm going to be the everyman now. So a head of technical operations, you know, what is that? What does that mean? You talked about, you know, contributing and feeding into what, you know, people see on those screens. But what does your department do?
So as a head of technical operations, I'm responsible to make sure the entire technical infrastructure, let's say the data center, the network switches, the servers, applications, everything is working smoothly. And we ensure that nothing goes down. And even if something goes down, there's a backup plan, right? Those kind of things. And then ensuring that all our artists are able to perform as expected or better than that. So those are the things that we really take care of. If everything is running smooth and nobody's complaining, then the job is completely done.
Brilliant.
So that's how it is.
I love that. Beautifully put as well, actually. I mean, it sounds very foundational. It's a word I use at the start. You know, it doesn't happen unless you've got the infrastructure in place, right? I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but yeah, absolutely right. Thank you, Manpreet. And Michael, I should ask you as well. I'd love to hear about your break in the industry and how you channeled your way to Framestore.
I think you just summed it up. I channeled my way, I guess. I was always doing this is going back a while, but short films, videography, I did a film degree, and then after that I was just trying to figure out which part of the process I enjoyed most. And I was creating some short films, and with that, my mentor at the time became my mentor, said to me, oh, you're making short films. I was also working in the post room for a healthcare company and doing facilities and running and that sort of thing. And this mentor, I'll say Elizabeth Harrin, who is a wonderful project manager who I've worked with quite often and was great. She said, you did this film. She was quite impressed by it. And she said, you could work with me on a project we're doing at the moment. And so I ended up working on a massive European first project of implementing a system with her as being like a coordinator on the project, and learned a lot from her. And then from then, I just went and did my project management exams, Prince 2, and within no time I was just like managing projects everywhere. And it was great, because I did some healthcare for a while, and then I did a little bit of advertising and publishing and a few other different places, and back to healthcare. And yeah, it's been a journey. But parallel to that, I was doing videography and doing like mixed media stuff that I do as a freelancer, and I'm still creating films and stuff. I was channeling my way there, as you said. Nice. Right. And I had applied for a couple of jobs at Framestore a while back, and I hadn't heard from them for about 6 months, and I think I'd accepted a job elsewhere, because I was just trying to change. I just needed a change. I'd been at the last company 4 years. Totally. And it's been interesting progressing that kind of producer role, project manager role at the same time. They're very tied together. And then a different job, this job came up to the job that I'd applied for, I think. And 6 months later, they called me, and within a month, suddenly I turned down the other job and I was here, because, you know, it was Framestore, right? Why wouldn't I want to come to work somewhere so exciting and learn something so important?
Yeah, I think that was something similar happened to me as well. I was actually, when I was interviewed by Framestore, it was like waiting for some time. And I accepted job elsewhere. I joined there as well.
Yeah.
And I was still waiting that something would turn up very soon. And I spent about nearly a month. And just before completion of that month, I got that offer from Framestore that this is the one I was looking for. Yeah. And that's how it started. And I moved to Mumbai and I was still waiting. But then that 1 month was worth of it.
Amazing.
And you're not the only person I've heard that said that. And there's probably people out there now who accepted a role somewhere else, but might get a call from Framestore soon and turn that one down. You know?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? mean, we're going to get onto the kind of cheesy question in a minute about the best thing working at Framestore. But even like, I mean, I've been in the industry a while, and when Framestore came knocking, it was always the studio that had that kind of reputation, and more about not just the work, but about culture and about training and about caring for its people. Because I used to do a lot of work with, and still do with Amy Smith through my work with Access VFX and all the kind of nonprofit work. So it always had an air of, you know, this is a great culture, it's a good place to work. And as soon as that email came through, at least, you know, starting a process, I was all in, you know. Yeah. And I think it's that's what I'm hearing from both of you as well. Yeah. So how happy with you were your employers, Manpreet, after a month? You said, sorry, guys, I had a better offer come through.
I think I was very excited. I was very happy.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
They were definitely not, because I was involved as a project management professional there in the company where I got that offer. But then again, it was not matching my expectations. So I thought, okay, to start with, it's good, because I had moved to Mumbai at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was just 1 month. And most importantly, I was waiting for this offer because I knew it would. So one thing was, I had that association with Framestore earlier. And then secondly, so I was also expecting an offer from another company. But then, So let me tell you better. The story actually happened, bro. I was expecting an offer from another company and also waiting for an offer from Framestore. The person who was interviewed here was retained, and I was about to get an offer from that company, and then we swapped the positions, you can say.
Right.
Oh, and that's how...
Trade-off.
Yeah. That's how Framestore came into picture.
Amazing.
Long story.
So on the same subject then, so that's a lovely segue into my next question, which is, what's the best thing about being part of Framestore? You know, if you had to pick one element, Manpreet, what would it be? I call it the cheesy question, but you might not have a cheesy answer.
Yeah, I think I'm the best thing. You are the best thing. We are all the best things. You know, when you know the right people are hired and you have the right culture in the organization to make it a great place to work, I think the job is done. And we are the best things that happened to Framestore, and Framestore is the best thing that has happened to us. I think that's all.
I love that answer. I wish you'd stayed with I am, just like Manpreet Singh's the best thing about being part of Framestore. But actually, you're right. I mean, a lot of people say the people, so you've done a really nice twist on that. It still is about the people, but it's about everybody being in the right role, right? Michael, are you down with that?
I'm echoing that completely. It's the people. As soon as I moved here, you know, I keep in touch with a lot of people from different places I've worked, and I say, oh my God, this place is really interesting. Everyone respects one another, right? Everyone's really cares about what they're doing. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they're doing their hobby. You know, they're doing something on the side that they got an interest in what they're doing, whether it's VFX specifically or whether it's tinkering with a Linux system or whatever it is, right? They're just happy to be, it's what they love doing. So everyone's really happy to help one another and be respectful to one another. And it's a wonderful environment to be in. Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Great answers both. Thank you. Couldn't agree more. Now, still on kind of like the Framestore kind of vibe, I want to talk about shows and projects. So again, this doesn't have to be a film. Doesn't have to necessarily be a movie or a piece of episodic content or a theme park ride or a commercial. But Manpreet, if you could recommend one project or one show that truly showcases Framestore at its best, what would it be? I always call this the show you'd show to an alien to go, this is what we do.
That's really a difficult question, because there's so many shows to talk about, so many films to talk about. And if you say just one best show, I think I cannot talk about just one show. We've made efforts, put efforts in doing every show, successful show. Mm. And our people have also put a lot of effort, I think. But if you want me to ask few names, I can say, let's say, Avengers Endgames was fantastic.
Yep.
Aquaman was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Top Gun was fantastic. Tomorrow Never Dies. I mean, there's so many. I've not even watched so many shows. I can name all those things together. But then there's nothing, one specific show I can name. It's like it's like you are asking your parent who's your favorite child?
Favorite kid. I know. It is an unfair question, I must admit.
Yeah, it's really, I think everything is when you have put all your efforts together. So all your child's are favorite.
I love that. So all my shows, everything, basically.
Yes.
Just all of it. Okay, Manpreet, I'll take that. That's absolutely right and proper. What about you, Michael? What would you put anything out there as a kind of showboat frame store project?
Well, it's interesting. So I'm watching Avatar at the moment.
Oh, yeah, the original.
Out specifically. Yeah, yeah, but I'm taking my time. I don't want to enjoy it. I think I've got 2 episodes left. And I found myself the other day watching it and looking at it and going, oh, wow, this is a really stunning piece of art in the moment, because as an audience member, it captures all the different disciplines that visual effects can bring, be it creatures, be it fire, be it like power effects, all those things happening in one shot. And I really found myself just going, wow, every frame a painting, that phrase came to mind. So that's something that I was saying the other day. But the thing that clued me into Framestore originally many years ago, I think, was Okja.
With Jake Gyllenhaal and Tilda Swinton.
Such a beautiful film. It was a gorgeous film, and the visual effects were just delicate, and the storytelling was delicate, and it's a perfect use of story and visual effects doing one for the other, what each other can complement one another. And that was the thing that made me go, wow. And ever since, I think the amazing work they've done is stunning.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to say that we've done such a wide variety of stuff. That's where I'm watching at the moment, and what introduced me to Framestore anyway.
I don't think I knew that. I mean, I'm full of thought again. I'm always quite honest on the show. God, if I say anything on the podcast. But Okja never comes up. And I didn't, I saw that as part of the lockdown film club I started 4 years ago with my friends, and we watched Okja and rated it. And so I assume we did all the creature work on that, right? Because you've got that main central character, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's stunning. It is just a stunning film anyway, right? And it stands up on its own, and it's interesting. And when you're doing creature work, you've got to be really careful. Yeah, you just got to be really careful, because people just are very, very like polarized when it comes to the second you see something. It's why his Dark Materials was so celebrated. It was the second you saw it, your brain went, yep, believable, right? And when you're doing creatures, especially something that's fantastical, right? You've got to be careful. You've got to be really careful, because it can look silly. It can look too childlike. It's so many different errors. But it was a beautiful film, and it complemented the story really well. Yeah, so it was, stood out, definitely.
Yeah. It can take you out of the movie, can't it? If there's something slightly off with that kind of fantastical creature and you're not buying into it as a piece of storytelling, it takes you right out of the film, and then you're lost forever, aren't you?
Yeah.
But the same goes for, you mentioned Top Gun Maverick, Manpreet. We had that as one of our special episodes last year, and we were talking about the jet fighters and how there was only 2 physical jet fighters used in that film, despite what Tom Cruise said about there being no VFX in that movie. And then you look at those dogfights and those scenes and it's all going off, it's amazing.
It's one of my favorite memes, where it's him saying that, cut to all the work that was put in.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Okay. So that's the Framestore bit, the geeky bit. Now we're going to segue neatly into some questions around lessons learned and career advice, particularly the leadership side of things as well. I'm super interested to hear more about Manpreet. So my first question is, as a head of department, what's a common myth about your job or your field of expertise? What do people often get wrong?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question. Common myth, I would say, in the industry, most people think that they don't really need this role or position, and they can do all the tech stuff themselves, any kind of troubleshooting and stuff, everything they can handle themselves.
Yeah.
But then they'll realize only when the things break. When the things break or servers go down, then they say, who's going to do this? So they've wasted a few days in recovering data, managing data, and several man hours are wasted, which is actually more costly. But then you really need a strong leadership to drive these things.
Yeah.
Working very quickly, getting back on work reliably, and importantly, communicating right things at right time to right people. So I think those are the things really required at this role and position. And when you hear no noise from people, as I mentioned earlier, it's a good sign. And then our job is completely done.
Interesting.
And we can all work happily and sleep happily. That's the objective.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like one of those departments that you could almost be not unnoticed, but if you're not heard of, then you've absolutely killed your job, right? Because kill in the positive sense, that you've done everything right. The infrastructure is on point, and if that's in place and actually it's not noticed because it's just a smooth running experience for all involved.
Sometimes in the middle of the night, we know that something is not working, the internet link is down, and some people are still working there to make sure that this is recovered and everything is back to normal before the next day morning.
Yeah.
And people are there to fix that, and everything works the next day morning, and people never notice that this has happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's something which is very key thing, and because people don't know it, that's a myth that it's not required anymore.
Yeah. So like you say, it's a myth that people think, oh, well, it's clearly we've got it covered if it goes wrong. But if it does go wrong, they're absolutely screwed and they need your team. That's interesting. I mean, it almost sounds kind of like you're the unsung heroes of visual effects in many ways, because you're obviously kind of doing the grind behind the scenes, but nobody notices because you're just too good at your job. That's interesting. I like that. What about kind of general project management myths? I mean, again, I can loop you in on this, Michael. You know, when people go, you know, project management, oh, yeah, is it similar? Is it one of those where, oh, I could do that? I've just got to kind of organize a few people and give people some goals. And
yeah.
And feel free to chime in as well, Manpreet, with your project management experience. You know, are there myths that exist?
Well, it's hard. I think the problem in the UK and in America, the apprentice show specifically really kind of made the whole term project manager, like it devalued it completely, I think, right? But at the same time, it did demonstrate that the point of a project manager is you're meant to do everything, and it's really difficult. If there's a myth, it is that you're just herding cats. And most of the time, you know, these shows just demonstrate that part of the job, trying to corral people to follow something, do something on time, on budget, on scope, whatever that is. Yeah. But it's not herding cats all the time. A lot, as I said earlier, people are doing what they love. People are passionate about doing the right thing. And so being a project manager is a lot more fun than people think, and a lot less administrative and boring than I think it has been. I don't know, maybe it's got that misconception, and maybe I'm just imparting that. And as I say, I think these shows have devalued this catch-all term of project manager or manager, even. Any manager now, anything that's got manager at the end of its name now seems to have been devalued. And then you get so trying to work out leaders and who can actually look after people, whatever their title, right, isn't as boring as it seems. That's the myth, I think. Yeah.
I said I do echo Michael. I also believe that a lot of people do not think that project management is required, and then techies will say, "Yeah, I can manage myself." But if it is not managed properly, if you just don't do the things right in first go, and then a lot of people forget to do documentation, a lot of people forget to communicate well. If those things are not in picture, things would definitely go wrong sometimes.
Yeah. It all falls apart. You're absolutely right. You know, if people don't know what they're supposed to be doing and when, and nobody's communicating properly, I mean, it's all project management, isn't it? Yeah. But these are all human skills. These are all human qualities and leadership qualities that, you know, I mean, we've all had experiences working for people who ran projects badly. I mean, you mentioned The Apprentice show, right, Mike? I mean, every single one of those shows, the project managers screw it up. I mean, it's, even the winners do a really bad job too.
It's comedic, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's entertainment, right?
Didn't do my job well. It didn't do my industry well. I think it actually affected us for the negative.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting because, I think that's the one thing I do say is, like, if you're going to be a project manager, learn to just be flexible and dynamic and try and your hand at everything.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Because in that you'll find the fun, you'll find your flow, right? You'll find what's fun, and it will be less administrative in your head as well. Because I think people coming into this are a bit intimidated by documentation and all that stuff, and you don't have to be so prescriptive.
It's certainly a craft, isn't it? I think project management, and people, that's where it gets kind of devalued, I think, sometimes.
Good ones, yeah.
So in this kind of ballpark of leadership, and you've mentioned leadership, Manpreet, I'd love to hear what's the most important leadership lesson that you've learned over your career to date? You know, what was that big moment where you're like, wow, no, that's a doozy. That's something I'm going to remember.
Yeah, I think a true leadership is reflected only when you trust your people, take care of people, and work together towards achieving goals together. So I think people who do not take care of the team are left alone at some point of time. My key liner I would like to say is, like, if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you go together.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, so longevity rather than kind of quick fixes. Yeah. that shared goal that you were leading to there, Manpreet. You know, everybody working together towards that united goal, I think is cool. And how did you learn that? At what point in your career did you get that?
Yeah, I said earlier, I made a lot of mistakes, then I learned from my own mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then I saw people making mistakes. I said, no, that could have been handled in a different manner.
Yeah.
So I built my perspective. And then, you know, that's how we all learn together. And then over a period of these 20 years, I was able to manage teams. I was able to get the rewards, best boss of the world kind of certificate from the team. So I think that all comes by experience.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And do you think this is something, because I'm hearing a lot about what you're saying, Manpreet, is this journey you've been on where you're learning from mistakes or you're learning from experience and, as you said, on the job kind of experiences, right? But for you, you know, you talk about taking a team on a journey. You're taking a team, you know, working, like you say, working towards a shared goal. This takes time, you know, it's a vision, et cetera. You know, how do you, for people listening who have aspirations to lead or have aspirations to manage, you know, how what is the secret sauce? How do you do that? How do you win the respect and the hearts and minds of a team to do that?
I think that's also part of project management, I would say, because at the beginning of the year, I set some objectives for the entire team, saying that, hey, this is the objective we want to accomplish by the end of this year. And by having regular meetings with them and to check where we are now and then how to move ahead on the next step, continuously guiding them, mentoring them. I think that's how I manage the entire team. And we are always able to meet those targets or probably exceed also sometimes because there are some initiatives that we take ourselves. And then that becomes a kind of feather in the hat. Mm. So that way people understand what is expected from them and timely basis motivate them, taking them out for dinners and encouraging them to do anything different. So I think that's the culture also in the organization when you say, we are all open and all the ideas are welcome. So those kind of things, I think, really helps.
That's cool.
It's rapport, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's that. It's what you say, taking them out, building a rapport and gaining trust. But it's not through anything like, it's not a lie. It's just by being open, right? And just saying, here I am. And that allows people to be more open with you. And then you have more encouraging conversations and people work. Well, people aren't working. They're just enjoying their day, right?
Yeah. It's really interesting what you said there, Manpreet, at the start was about the project management DNA and giving people what they need in terms of clarity of goals and objectives and knowing what the vision is, which is really interesting because we've done a lot of these episodes where we talk about leadership and we talk a lot about the soft skills and obviously everything you've talked about rapport and building. But actually, it's giving people what they need. Because you mentioned that at the start, Michael, you know, that project you worked on with Manpreet was the best one you've done, easiest rollout, because Manpreet gave you the detail and the information you needed to do your job.
Yeah.
And as working for any leader, if you've got all the info, and like you said, Manpreet, there's no hidden agendas. You're given everything you need. You've got support. You're supported. I mean, that's most of the battle won, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Really interesting. I love this stuff.
No, it is interesting because it's like every project that I have been on where there's been issues, like you know, not to get too like into the weeds, but at the end, you'll always close a project. You do some lessons learned. You might have different ways of doing that and figuring out what worked best. And the ones, every time I've done a kind of project retro, where a project has failed, it's always just lack of, as Manpreet said, documentation. Whether that was at the beginning, did we identify what we needed? Who was the manager? Who was the product? What was the product? What does it look like? How do we manage quality? You know, in project management, that traditionally called the PID, the project initiation document, or just something at the beginning. But it could be documentation in training. It could be documentation along the way.
Yeah.
And that's usually where you fall down. So I think people get intimidated because they think it has to be some sort of like definite template that has to fit and the content has to be very, especially once you do project management as well, not to kind of go off topic, but people think it's very prescriptive, right? People think it is very, what was the risk? What was the value? What was the opportunity? And I'm like, oh, no. I've said this a million times to any time I work on a new project is I fit the project, the documentation, what we need, the style, all towards the project rather than just saying this will work for every project. And but there are some things you need and they're documentation, but it could be just in a piece of paper and it could be in a chart and it could be in a template that's provided, but it doesn't need to be intimidating and it doesn't need to be or one size fits, or it can't be a one size fits all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. So on to our next question now. It's Manpreet, who has been, and if I'm sure there's more than one, but who's been your most important professional mentor? This is where you get to shout people out and give them their flowers. You know, who's been there for you, Manpreet? You said you didn't have one, so maybe it's Manpreet Singh.
Yeah, to be very honest, I never had any kind of professional mentor throughout my career. My leadership qualities, I think, which I inherited from my dad, who was in the Indian Army, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned a lot of from him, and that's where I am right now.
I love that.
Yeah, life is as a biggest mentor, I would say.
Yeah, oh God, I love it. It's great. Life, your dad and life are your most important mentor. Brilliant. I mean, what was it about your dad, you know, that made him a great, I mean, obviously there's the military angle, but what made him, what quality do you think you embody that you've taken from your father?
I think he was very calm when working together with people under him. He used to make things work, but then also understand what are the vibes coming out of the team, right? So if they were in the acceptance mode, then he wouldn't be commanding more. If that was a kind of, you know, different vibes from people, then he would say, okay, let's do that and make it work.
Yeah.
So those kind of different leadership styles.
Totally.
I think that's inherited, and that's where automatically I also learn on the job and then make sure that the team is, you know, taken care in different ways.
That's how it is. Yeah, it's a real skill, isn't it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, so I noticed you had like engineering in your skill set as well, and that's really cool because it brings together that all those disciplines. And it's interesting you guys talking about military leaders earlier, and I've worked, some of the best project managers I work with, a lot of times have been in military or Navy, and it's really useful because they have just got that drilled in, but they're able to be dynamic, be it industrious, or be it thinking about a strategy, whatever the case may be, or just trying to get to a goal, you know.
Yeah.
It's a diverse set of skills that you need, and that's beautiful.
There's a discipline. There's a discipline, there's a target, objective, and how to accomplish that. Those are the things, keywords I can say, you know, you'll find in the military.
Yeah.
What's a goal? So how to go there? So those kind of
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that. So moving into the next question, Manpreet, is, you know, the indispensable tools. You know, is there an underrated tool that's indispensable for you to do your job? So there's the obvious tools you use that everybody relies on, but what do you use that is underrated?
I believe Jira is one of the essential tools for the entire organization, not just my team, I would say, because that's something that we use on a daily basis. Whenever people have some issues, we insist them to raise a ticket to us that will help us understand what are the exact problems we are facing and then work on those incidents or tickets. So this tool actually gives user a platform to raise concerns, attach screenshots, include various stakeholders, and get updates. I think we also follow and track the Jira tickets and resolve them in a timely manner. So that's also, you know, a great tool where we can capture how effectively or efficiently the team members have performed and resolved the issues.
Yeah. Okay. So big shout out to Jira. It doesn't get enough respect. It keeps you. I mean, I love Jira when I, particularly with the systems work that I do, you always get a reply straight away. You know, it's being dealt with. It's quite comforting when you get your kind of your Jira receipt. You just know it's landed, and then it always gets sorted pretty quickly. So
well, I think it's taken for granted. Like, so all companies have got this system and it's holding up companies. It literally is like just holding up companies, and we don't give it the props it deserves. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Well, here we are. That's what the podcast's there for, Michael. We're there to give it its flowers. Exactly. Yeah. Not just raising up the technical operations department, not that it needs it, you know, the unsung heroes, but making sure Jira gets its gets its flowers too. Not just Manpreet's father, who and I love that's on the podcast. I love doing this podcast. I get to find out stuff like that, which I just didn't know. So I think it's amazing hearing that story, and I wish we had more time to delve into it. But I'm excited to ask the next question, which is the advice question, because we have a lot of people who are interested to kind of rise through the ranks at Framestore, but we also have people externally who listen to this as well. So what's one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting out in your field, Manpreet? You know, what is a golden nugget of careers advice you're prepared to offer our listeners?
I would say it could be culturally different in other countries, but then, you know, in tech support roles, nowadays technology is changing very fast, and some people who are like early starters, they prefer to get certified first instead of learning things on the job, just to get better jobs.
Right.
I believe it is very essential to gain the knowledge first, and then go for some certification if that is really required.
Okay.
And then you're ready for that.
Yeah.
So adopt and adapt to the changing technologies is something that you should keep on doing at frequent intervals.
Yeah, keep learning. Yeah, particularly that certification, I imagine, is super important in your line of work, right? In terms of whatever that discipline is. I mean, I guess it goes for kind of project management as well, right? I mean, is it Prince 2, is it, Michael and Manpreet?
Yeah.
And Agile and all of that good stuff?
Many of them, but Yeah, and it doesn't really matter. It just, as long as you're having that helps, but you'll learn a lot more on the job, right? And you'll learn a lot more by just tackling problems and finding solutions. But it's interesting, you know, that for me, I was a Prince 2 qualified project manager, and that's always sitting in the back of my head, you know, those stages, those, what do I need? I'm checking things off in my head and I'm going through it. And now I do agile projects as well. And I'm just going through, right, what do I need for to be done in this way? And it's interesting because you've always got like a checklist. But again, it's not so, don't have to be prescriptive.
Absolutely. Good advice. Do you agree with Manpreet's advice, Michael? Or have you got anything else you'd like to add in terms
cut,
of...
Cut your teeth. Yeah, you just go out there and just get out and start doing.
Doing stuff, making stuff. Yeah,
it's definitely. Like, and I get, it's a hard industry to get in if this is what you want to get in. Any industry that you want to get in nowadays, you know, the amount of jobs and the amount of people applying is vast. So a lot of people are going out there to get qualifications, and that whilst that might help, experience, even as scrappy as it might be, or whatever you need to put together to just learn something, is going to be really valuable. But also, as I said earlier, just for any person out there in any job, breathe, ask stupid questions questions and repeat. That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I've got that written on a post-it above my desk at home, is breathe.
Just breathe.
A beat. Take a beat.
And I learned that the hard way. We all learn it the hard way.
I know. I'm turning 50 this year and I'm only learning the benefit of breathing. Honestly, it's
just breathe.
We'll start a mindfulness podcast after this. Just Manpreet, Michael and myself just going, welcome to the mindfulness.
Repeating breathe for like 50 minutes.
Yeah. You're on a beach just to hear the seagulls are chirping around. Anyway, I shouldn't do that. I'm not made for mindfulness podcasts. But we're into the kind of final kind of part of the podcast now, Manpreet, before I hand over to Michael for part two. And there's a couple of kind of just fun throwaway questions, really. And this one is the question you wish I'd asked you. And how would you have answered it? We've already had chili challenge. So we started with chili challenge. But is there anything I've not asked you that you wish I did, Manpreet?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I believe you should have asked me, what are the passions you still follow?
Great question. So tell us more. What passions do you still follow, Manpreet?
I'll start from the very beginning. When I was growing, I had a hobby of sketching, painting. Later, I picked up like playing musical instruments, photography, and hosted a lot of stage shows.
Amazing.
And I started writing poetry, lyrics, stuff like that. What I still enjoy is writing poetry, lyrics, and stories and skips like that.
Wow. And all for fun, do you get to publish? Have you published anything?
I am looking at making some web series or something.
Nice. Keep us posted. There's nothing out there at the moment that we can put in the show notes that people can check out. So it's like a watch this space situation. So poetry, lyrics, and stories. And where does that passion come from?
Oh, that's also an interesting part. My dad used to write a lot in his local language.
Mm-hmm.
But that is also something that you can say inherited from genes.
Wow, I love it. I love things that are passed down and you're getting inspired by kind of parental figures. I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, I was the only kid among three brothers who picked up all these leadership and creative things also.
What are they doing?
Yes. they're running their own business.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Into IT infrastructure and automation domain.
Nice. You've taken all the good stuff, all the leadership qualities and the artistic prowess then.
You can say that.
And they've set up, I'm sure they're killing it out there as well. Brilliant. Right. I'll ask the next question to both of you, which is who would you like to hear on the podcast next? So who would you like me to put on my hit list and put through your experience that you're just having now?
Has Beren been on yet?
No, Beren has not been on.
Right. I thought he hadn't, but I was like, he must have by now. But but he hasn't. So I'm definitely nominating you.
He is contractually obliged to listen to this episode.
That's true, being my boss.
But so if he's listening out there.
I'd ask, is Christoph Meslin on
that? That's a good
one. He's not. That's a really good one.
Surprising. So I believe he's a nice person and nice to hear from Christoph because he's very enthusiastic, fun-loving, creative, and you can also ask him to sing a song.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll remember that. Sing us a song, Chris. Kick us off. He can be the new theme tune for the podcast. That'd be great. I love it. He's made a movie as well, hasn't he? Hasn't he got a film out on Prime Video?
Yes.
Yeah, I need to check that out. Yeah. It's not free, though. You've got to pay for it. So it better be good if I'm buying it. Amazing. Right. All right. Yeah. So we've got Beren and Christoph. Brilliant. Okay. They are officially on the hit list now, thanks to you both. So my final question, and again, I'll involve you both in that before we close out part one of this episode, is the reason why everybody listens to this podcast. And I teased it out at the start of the episode as well. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be, Manpreet?
$1 million question.
It really is, isn't it?
$1 million.
$1 million, you know, I like that. Play on words, beautiful. See, he's a writer, he's a poet, you see, this is what we get.
Yeah. I think there's a dish called saag.
Oh, yeah.
In India.
Spinach, right?
It's made of spinach and mustard leaves. Lovely. That's something that I love the most. I can eat every day for the rest of my life. And some beer, of course.
Beer and you're allowed a beverage with it as well. We'll let you have a beer.
Of course. Yeah.
But saag paneer is one of my favorite Indian dishes. I love a good biryani, but I love a saag. My wife's vegetarian and she always orders the saag paneer and I always kind of like steal a little bit. It's absolutely.
You should come to India sometime. I'll make saag.
Don't worry, it's still on my frame store list to come out and visit the team. So I'll give you a shout, Manpreet, for sure. On a promise now. Great. I love it. Thank you. And is that something that you would eat, you'd make yourself and it's home cooks? Oh, amazing. And where did you learn that from, can I ask? Who did you pick up that?
My mom.
That skill from? Your mom?
Yes.
Excellent. We got a shout out for your mom as well. It's not just about your dad.
Yeah, my family is like happy family because they keep on demanding every day, what's new in the kitchen today? Like something. So probably weekends, I'll say.
Amazing.
But then I do spend some time over the weekend to make something different for the family.
Yeah, brilliant. And are you known as a good cook in your immediate family?
Yeah, but then don't spread this word to the world.
Okay. Yeah, we won't tell them we've recorded this. This will just be between us and all of our listeners. It's fine. What about you, Michael? What could you live on for the rest of your days?
Anything my partner made, I think it was my instincts. That's to begin with.
Terrible answer. You need to do better than that.
I suppose, all right, if it was one meal, it'd have to be something like a chicken, rice and peas, like from a summer barbecue.
Oh, right. And, specifics.
Yeah.
Tell you're a project manager. It's not just chicken. It's got to be on a summer barbecue.
Because food isn't just the food. It's the moment.
It's the vibe.
It's the sunshine. It's the smoky smell. It's the vibe. It's the music. Yeah, something like that in the summer.
Got me longing for the summer now. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, almost here.
See, mindfulness podcast. You're at a barbecue. You're just getting the jet chicken going. You're smelling all those amazing spices.
I'm evoking, or I'm channeling and willing.
All right, one more question and I'll let you go. And we always ask this, and it was kind of christened at our first episode by Sergio Gonzalez, is the music you listen to while you're working, if you do. And even if you don't, we have an accompanying Spotify playlist for this podcast. So Manpreet, can you give us one track or one artist that we can include on that playlist?
Well, I listen to some instrumental music.
Nice.
Various instruments like saxophone, piano, Indian musical instruments like
lovely
handpans and stuff.
Okay.
I play mouth organ.
Oh, amazing.
Harmonica and congo bongo as well.
Yeah, amazing.
So I think I love music.
Yeah, well, I'll be pestering you for one really good track that we can put track one on the playlist so people know it's Manpreet's track, okay? Mm-hmm. Make sure it's a good, big, long instrumental. I'm looking forward to that. And Michael, what are you going to add? What's the track that you're going to add to the playlist?
I don't know. I'm quite boring in the day. I usually have the radio on. I flip between like Radio 2 and Radio 4, something like that. if you've got to put a track, like there's an artist called Wendy Wanda. They're a band. They're pretty amazing and a Taipei artist. Yeah, it's poppy, synthy, vapor wavy. It's a bit blendy. But yeah, that's been my vibe for the last year or so. I just keep revisiting those albums.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right, I like it. Two very eclectic choices. Vapor wavy, is that a new genre? I'm going to investigate vapor wavy.
Yeah, it's definitely a genre. I don't know if it's vapor wavy, it's synthy, but yeah, I'm a bit of a vaporwave fan
Sounds good.
So that's always
nice.
Yeah,
one. Yeah, I'm a child of the 80s, so I'm all about the synths. Yeah. All right. Well, both, thank you so much. That's part one. So we're not done yet. There's still a lot more we're going to get into, but I'm going to take a break from the questioning now. And obviously we have Michael here as our co-host. So on part two out this Thursday, we're going to kick off with Michael leading proceedings. So until then, have a great rest of your day and we'll see you on Thursday, everyone.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Simon and Michael. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that was part one. Join us for part two of the Framestore podcast out this Thursday, where Michael takes over proceedings as co-host and interviews Manpreet. See you then.